Welcome to the Tim Fowler Show, where production is paramount and we discuss the tools, time, and people associated with getting jobs done and making a profit. On today's episode of the Tim Fowler Show, we will be talking about building systems in production with the help of special guest Brad Hogan of Hogan Design and Construction in Geneva, Illinois. Alongside Tim Fowler, I'm your co-host Steve Wheeler. Here is the Tim Fowler Show.
Hello, everyone. Tim Fowler here. Welcome to the Tim Fowler Show. We're going to be talking about systems and building them for a production department in the remodeling world. Now, generally, when I talk about systems, people relegate that to, you know, hamburgers on the grill or factory work. In fact, I often hear we can't develop systems because we don't build the same thing over and over again, like a hamburger or a car. And so I throw the challenge back to them that, you know, is there anything that you do the same way or you could do the same way on every job? And usually then we get down to the fact that there are many things, even in the remodeling world where every job is a little bit different, that we can do every time the same way. So the truth is that, you know, flying by the seat of your pants works for a while for most companies. In fact, an individual who runs a company, who does the work, sells the work, does all those kind of things, a sole proprietor, doesn't always need systems because everything is with them. They've got everything contained with them. I think that person will find that all that changes as the company grows. The other thing that I think is really important is it's not like the Ronco cooker that you see on TV. We all know that slogan, set it and forget it. Well, systems aren't that way. Systems change as companies develop. So we brought back a guest that helped us with change orders, and we've asked him to chip in again.
So Brad Hogan is the production manager for Hogan Design and Construction, a full-service design build firm in Geneva, Illinois. Geneva is located 45 miles west of Chicago. Hogan Design and Construction works on both commercial and residential remodels. Brad started with the company in August of 2002 and came on board as a laborer. He worked his way up the ranks as carpenter, lead carpenter, project manager, and eventually took on the role as production manager in 2011. Since that time, Brad has developed, changed, and implemented the systems that have made Hogan Design and Construction into the premier remodeling customer in the west suburbs of Chicago. Welcome to the show, Brad.
Hey guys, thanks for having me back. I just wanted to say right off the bat, I've been getting a ton out of your podcast, and so I really appreciate being invited back to do another one.
Well, it's great to have you on. So let's just jump right in and kind of talk about these systems things. So when did you really start putting systems into place at Hogan Design, just from the standpoint of the need for them and when you said, let's get going on this?
Well, honestly, what you said earlier in the intro about having one person that was kind of handling everything, that's kind of where I came in. When I first kind of took over production, my brother Brian was handling everything from start to finish, and his system was all in his head. And so it was very hard to get it out of that. The first system that I took over was we were paying the subcontractors, and he took care of all of that, but he immediately gave that to me, and I set in pay dates as opposed to getting calls every hour from somebody asking me for money. I said, let's get some structure into this, and that was actually the first system that I put in place. So I did it immediately, and then kept working as I continued in that role.
So the word structure just stuck out right there as you said it, which I think is another great way of looking at building systems. You're actually building some structure into the process. So what were you seeing there at Hogan Design when you came into that role of production manager that said, man, we need some structure, we need some systems?
It was all over the place. Brian is he's a very good salesperson, and he's very good with the upfront, like the customer experience. But the behind the scenes stuff is it was left lacking. And we really just needed to put in scheduling and change order systems. There was a lot of different things that we needed to kind of hit off right off the bat that I knew and started working on almost immediately.
So Brad, tell us a little bit about what systems do. You mentioned change orders, you mentioned scheduling, you mentioned those kind of things. What do the systems do for you and for the company? I'm assuming that it takes a little bit out of that free flow area, but what is it that they do for you as you put them into place?
There's kind of three points that kind of come across to me when you ask me that question. The first one is it allows us to repeat the successes we've had on previous jobs. It also allows us to avoid the mistakes we've had on previous jobs. And then it also allows us to track results and performance. So when you're doing something the same way every time, you're able to actually put it, the system allows for you to track it to see what's working and what's not.
So do you effectively use the same systems for your commercial work as you do for your residential work? So I know many companies, you know, get into one or the other and then some bridge across them. Are they basically the same systems, maybe with a little tweaking here and there?
Essentially, yes. Like you said, there are a few little minor tweaks when it goes into commercial work. Just most of it is on the upfront, just because there's more steps that you have to kind of get involved in. But yeah, for the most part, they are very similar.
So give us an example of something that your company, the company said, wow, we need a system for this, or we need some structure for this, and kind of walk us through that process of how did you make that decision? Who was involved in making that decision? And then how did you get others involved in creating the system? Or did you just do it yourself?
So, it's funny because my previous conversation with you guys was about change orders, and that's the one that came to mind. But
yeah.
I also have we had a big issue with job production handoffs, and really there was no system to it. Like, it was chaotic. Everything was different every single time. And so basically, what I did is I met with my project managers, my brother, who's the owner, and the main salesperson, and myself, and just kind of talk through what would be ideal, like what would be the perfect way to do it. And then I basically created the process in the way that I thought made the most sense. And so once it was created, then I went back to all of them and walked them through step by step of how I wanted it. We did some tweaks, and then we tried it on a job. And if I was to say that it was 100% success, I'd be lying, but it was a much better start than what we were normally used to. And so we were able to kind of go from there and learn from what we needed to tweak. And that's the biggest thing with a system, is that you've got to be willing to change it as your needs change. So
Brad, do you use a template or an outline of sorts when you create the system or process?
Yes. Yeah. It's the outline basically is what I create initially for the process. And so it's basically kind of a step-by-step. It's if somebody didn't do the job, could come in and read it, understand what they have to do and execute it. Now, that being said, there are some learning curves and there's some things that you would need to ask questions about, but for the most part, one project manager can repeat the same thing that the next project manager does, based on just following kind of the guidelines for it.
So what I heard you say right before that question by Steve was that you talked with your team about putting these systems together. And I've always advocated that getting the team involved is a really, really good thing. I guess I'm just looking for some collaboration on that to say, you feel like bringing your project managers into the process of creating it is better than just creating the system and say, here, do this.
I do. And the biggest thing, and then sometimes it's the project manager, sometimes it's the designers, or sometimes it's either the field guys that we're bringing in to discuss. And it really just depends on who is going to be executing the system. One of the things that you'll run into is some project managers just do things the way they do it. And it's hard to get them to conform to a system. But I felt like if I talked to them beforehand and really got them to buy in prior to me just giving them and saying, do this, you're going to get that buy-in back, especially if they can give feedback and we can tweak it and kind of make it so that it makes sense for everybody. You're going to get, I feel, better results from that.
So are there any examples that you have of, like, there's a system that you have, but project manager one does it like 90%, but then the other 10%, they kind of do their own way. And then project manager number two, you know, does a little part of it their own way. Is there anything like that? Or do you insist that they follow it rigidly on every point?
Depends on the system, I guess it would be my answer to that one.
Okay.
The one that I can think of where they have kind of a lot of leniency is the first customer meeting, where it's actually the first meeting that they have with the customer after we've done the handoff, and it's just them and the customer. There's about 15 points that we like to hit in that meeting, and a couple of my project managers like to hit about 12 of them and then save another three to another point. Another one of my project managers likes hitting them all. And I just kind of insist that if they're going to delay them, that it goes into their own system of making sure that they're doing their follow-up system to make sure that it all gets hit. So
I would assume that something like a change order system, though, that you're very, very rigid on, everybody has to follow that process exactly, because it becomes a legal part of your process as opposed to just a client communication thing.
Absolutely. Yeah, our change order process is pretty rigid. And if somebody is going to need to sway from it in any way, shape, or form, I do have them come talk to me just so that I can have a full understanding of why they're doing it.
So, Brad, I know you use a lot of trade partners, and your project managers are responsible for managing them. So how do you get them to participate in the systems that you set up? I know we talked about it in the change order episode about, you know, you just don't pay them if they don't write up a change order. But there are probably some other systems that they have to be involved with that don't require money necessarily, but you want them to participate. So give us some tips on maybe some of those systems and how you get them on board, because you really don't have ultimate control.
So with subcontractors, the biggest thing with them is establishing the relationship early on and really setting the expectations with them of what we expect and what we don't expect. And so our subcontractor guidelines that we have them sign off on when they agree to us lay out a lot of the requirements that we have for them. One of the ones that kind of stands out that I remember having a lot of issues with early on was our bid process and getting pricing from our subcontractors. And so we kind of spelled it out on how we want that done. And then, you know, I mean, we understand that there's times where subcontractors are so busy that they just can't get to a bid, but right. We also have a protocol that we have them follow in that case so that we are aware and that we can plan accordingly with our customers and let them know, you know, kind of expectations as to when we can get pricing. So it's really, for us, it's all about the communication and that subcontractor guidelines. It's making sure that the expectations are set on what we require from them to buy into our systems so that our systems work for our customers.
So it sounds like there's a little bit of flexibility both with that, the subs or the trade contractors, as well as with your employees, but that built into the system is sort of a stopgap or a protection that allows you to still follow every aspect of the system. It's just there's maybe a branch in the process. Like your subs, they may be super busy, but you say, okay, if you're super busy, then here's the branch you go down. But they're still following and still putting an emphasis in there. Your project managers with the client meeting, you say, okay, if you don't cover everything in that first project meeting, then that's okay, but it still has to be followed at some point down the line. So it sounds like maybe some of your systems have branches in them, and then some of them are, no, this is the way it has to go.
Yeah, and I think it's one of those things, like you learn as you go, and if you're going to be rigid you need to make sure that you're being rigid for a good reason. Okay. And like you said, with the change orders, being rigid is important. Like, it's important that that's the same. But, you know, getting the communication, if a project manager feels like communicating 3 points of his first meeting is better served at another time because it serves his project better, we are definitely open to it. It's just a matter of making sure that it gets done.
So, Brad, if you're talking to somebody that's listening to this right now, and you know they may have a new business, what would you say? What would make them notice that a system needs to be put in place? Because you could systematize getting in and out of your truck, you know. And how do you watch that you're not over processing things? So what are the things that'll? Is it just kind of when problems arise? So how do you come to that to develop the system?
So the first thing is if more than one person is involved, I think it's important to have a system in place. So like you said, getting out of your truck, get out of your truck however you want to get out of your truck. But if you're getting out of your truck with four other people and unloading, whatever, a truck, there needs to be a way to do that so that everybody is efficient and doing their thing the way that they should be. And so that would be my first thing, like identifying the need for the system is if there's more than one person involved. And then basically the second thing that I would say is you need a system for kind of the outline of how things are going to go there, and be rigid where it needs to be and be flexible where it doesn't. So I would say that's kind of where I would say the line is, like more than one person and then just kind of the process and what makes the most sense. Mm-hmm.
So, Brad, I know I've known you for a little while now, and I know you're a pretty smart guy, but maybe other people are going like, man, I don't even know where to start on this thing. Sounds like a great idea. I'd love to be able to, you know, have all this working, but I just don't even know where to start. So maybe a little bit on like if you had to recommend like the top three systems for a company as they develop, and then maybe where would anybody get help doing this?
The biggest one for us was the change orders, because there was so much money being lost in the change order one. And it's a process that, I mean, the amount of money that you can lose by saying you're going to do this work and not having anybody sign off on it. And then you do it. And then the customer is arguing with you and saying that they thought it was included. And it's that. So I would say change orders is definitely the biggest one. Handoff, I would say is probably the second biggest one. And it's one of those ones that once you get that going consistently, your jobs will start consistently and finish consistently because you have a process that gets them going the right way. And then the third, system, you know, honestly, it's getting an overview of how your company's flowchart works from start to finish. Okay. I know that seems like an overwhelming task, but you know, getting that first, initial contact from a customer all the way through to a warranty, even if you're not breaking down each portion of that system, but just getting the outline in place so that you know how you want your projects to go from start to finish. I would say those are the three biggest ones that I would suggest. And then as far as where to get help, Tim, you know, from where I came in, I joined the roundtables in, I want to say it was 2012. And I was in a spot where I really didn't have any idea what I was doing. And I knew how to manage projects. I knew how to get them done, but I didn't really understand the processes and the systems that get me there. So my group in the Remodelers Advantage roundtables has been immensely helpful. And I mean, literally from giving me some of their systems to kind of adapt, as well as them giving me what priorities I need. Like, they can talk to me, understand what my frustrations are, and they can say, hey, this is the thing that you need to work on. This is how we would go about it. And then, you know, I mean, it's really, it's your commitment to doing that and them holding you accountable to doing it. So the roundtables, I would say, is the best place to get help for something like this.
So like almost everything in life, you know, some of us, you know, hit hit things right away, and then we struggle with other things. And just getting other people involved is huge. And learning from other people that have already been down the road and have done the things that we need to do. So, yeah, great, great feedback on that. So as we wrap it up here, Brad, maybe just a little nugget. You've given us a lot of stuff already in little nuggets, but maybe is there one more thing you could tell us that would say, you know, give us some insight into systems, or maybe just maybe a little encouragement to get busy working on them and maybe take the time that it takes to actually make these things happen?
So I would say, I kind of already hit on this, but I would say that the number one thing I would do is do the outline for how your company sees the whole process going, because it gives you kind of starting points on systems, like your lead intake. You have a starting system there. Your follow-up on sales calls, all the way through to your warranty process. So you're getting the outline of where you make these systems, and this is actually a great place to start.
That's awesome. Brad, once again, we love having you back on the show. We wish you continued success, and we'll look forward to having you back again in the future.
Thanks, guys. I really appreciate coming back. I really enjoy doing these, and I get a lot out of them. So,
great. Well, thanks. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right, Tim. Well, this was fantastic once again with Brad Hogan. And, you know, I'll just kind of start with what I took. And I think if you want to establish it, well, obviously systems really create the value of a business because people can do things over and over again. And you can put different people in different roles. But that flow chart from start to finish, to me, seems like the best way to identify where there would be issues or where you could have to put in the systems in place. How about
yeah,
you?
And I think just his feedback on that being kind of the golden nugget, I think it's dead on, that you don't really know where your problems are really till you really think about it and process it. So again, not making it overly complex, because I think some companies do that, but putting it down on paper or computer if you prefer, and really seeing it visually. Most of us in this business are visually oriented, so we can see it and then we can identify where some of those critical steps are.
And even a cheap plug for this show, if you go back and listen to all of our episodes and did a system on everything we've talked about, production meetings, change orders, weekly meetings with the client, you'll find them, you know, in place as a start. So, well, once again, we want to thank Brad Hogan for joining us, and we want to thank you for listening to another episode of The Tim Fowler Show.
And remember, we're helping the bottom line through production training.
This has been another episode of The Tim Fowler Show. Want to hire Tim and fast track your growth? Visit remodelersadvantage.com/consulting to learn more. And if you'd like more information about roundtables, our world-class peer advisory program, please send me an email at steve@remodelersadvantage.com. And of course, don't forget to subscribe to the show and comment on iTunes. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.